This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu sallam wa baraka al-abdihi wa rasulihi nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd, ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. I welcome our dear brothers and sisters in al-Islam, ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. Another beautiful Wednesday evening, walhamdulillah. And another one of our majalis. Majalis of what? Majalis of dhikr. More especially, majalis of the ahadith of the Rasul, the Habib Mustafa, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Your brother in Islam, Bilal Ismail, of the Al-Kawthar Institute and Imam Development Project, hayyakumullah. Brothers and sisters, walhamdulillah, in our previous majlis, we had concluded hadith number 2 from the 40 ahadith of Imam al-Nawawi, rahimahullah. We dissected that hadith, we trisected it, masha'Allah. We discussed all elements of that hadith in great detail, masha'Allah, tabarakallah. And we learnt, brothers and sisters, that that hadith is called what? It's called as-sunnah, the mother of the sunnah, subhanallah. For verily, it contains within it the meaning of the entire sunnah of our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What is Islam? What is Iman? What is Ihsan? Our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was asked. Asked by who? Asked by that stranger. Where? In Masjid al-Nabawi. Around who? Around the audience of the companions of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In reality, who was the questioner? He was none other than Jibreel. He came in this form to do what? To ask these questions? Subhanallah. In reality, he asked these questions to teach the companions about their religion. Brothers and sisters, he would say, Sadaqta, you have spoken the truth. فَعَجِبْنَا لَهُ يَسْأَلُهُ وَيُصَدِّقُ. Companions were amazed. How come he's asking the questions and then he's correcting the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam as if he already knew the answer? He went on and then he asked, when is the hour? When is Yawm al-Qiyamah? What did our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam say? The one who's asking the question, the one who's being asked the question, both of us, we do not know the answer to this question. I don't know, you don't know. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ. Verily with Allah is the knowledge of the hour. Brothers and sisters, then he asks the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam about the signs of Qiyamah. And they are many, subhanallah. We discussed in our previous majlis the major signs of Qiyamah, minor signs of Qiyamah, some of them which have already taken place and others which are yet to take place. Brothers and sisters, which two signs did our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam give? What did he say? Antaral حفات العراة العالة رعاء الشاة يتطاولون في البنيان. That you will find people, they are barefoot, they are naked, they are destitute, they are poor, and they are competing with one another in the building of tall high-rise buildings. It's like as if yesterday they were super poor and today competition between them in the building of these buildings. Allahu musta'an. And the other sign that you will find, that a female will give birth to her master. Two meanings to this we discussed. One of them being that disobedience would spread amongst the people until you will find that the kid rules over the parent as though he is the leader, as though he is the master. Allah musta'an. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. At the end of this hadith, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked the companion Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, do you know who that was? Allahu wa Rasuluhu a'lam. Allah and His Rasul, they know best. Our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, إِنَّهُ جِبْرِيلِ أَتَاكُمْ يُعَلِّمُكُمْ دِينَكُمْ. That was Jibreel. He came to teach you people about your religion. Walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. That was hadith number 2. MashaAllah, tabarakallah. We now move on to the next hadith, inshaAllah. And what's this? Hadith number 3. عَنْ أَبِي عَبْدِ الرَّحْمَانِ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ إِبْنِ عُمَرِ إِبْنِ الْخَطَابِ. The son of Umar ibn al-Khattab. What was his name? Abdullah ibn Umar, the famous Abdullah ibn Umar, the pious, the righteous Abdullah ibn Umar. He narrates, yes. What was his kunya? His kunya was Abu Abdurrahman. Abu Abdurrahman, the father of Abdurrahman. He might have had a son by the name of Abdurrahman, so he was called Abu Abdurrahman. And this hadith, brothers and sisters, hadith number 3. What's the discussion going to be around? What's the topic of this hadith? What's the content of this hadith? Islam has been built of 5. Islam has been built on 5, the 5 pillars of Al-Islam, subhanAllah. Our religion, brothers and sisters, is not some complicated type of deen, not some complicated type of theory. In reality, super simple. As one individual, he came to Abu Bakr, and he says to Abu Bakr, tell me some things, you know, give me some advice, teach me something, but don't overdo it. Do not burden me. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala says to him that, can you remember the 5 fingers on your hand? The man said, yes. He says, halas. The first pillar of Islam, second pillar of Islam, third, fourth, and fifth, subhanAllah. These are pillars, ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah. They are the pillars of the deen. Abu Abdurrahman Abdullah ibn Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma qal. He says, sami'tu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaqul. I heard the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, buniya al-Islamu ala khams. Islam has been built upon 5. Shahadati an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadar Rasulullah wa iqami as-salah wa ita'i az-zakah wal hajj al-bayt wa sawmi ramadan. Rawahu al-Bukhari wa Muslim. This hadith reported by Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim. The son of Umar ibn al-Khattab narrates that he heard. He did not hear from some third person. He heard directly from the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he said, what? Buniya al-Islamu ala khams. Islam has been built upon five pillars. These, brothers and sisters, are the pillars of the deen. Brothers and sisters, subhanAllah, when somebody asks you about Al-Islam, these are the matters that you should mention. 5 pillars of Islam, the 6 pillars of Iman, belief in Allah, in the angels, in the books, in the Rusul, in the messengers, etc. These are the important matters. Not, for example, you know, Islam, this is the type of clothing that we wear. Islam, for example, that we should grow the beard. Islam, for example, that the halal food. Yes, they are important. But the pillars of the deen are what? Halal food, is that a pillar of the deen? No. Circumcision, is that a pillar of the deen? Absolutely not, subhanAllah. The matter of tajweed in the recitation of the noble Quran, is that a pillar of the deen? Absolutely not. Ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah, the pillars of the deen. Buniya al-Islamu ala khams. Shahadati an la ilaha illallah. The testification that there is no deity worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi, he is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Brothers and sisters, this hadith is super important. This hadith, ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah, the narrator is Abdullah ibn Umar ibn al-Khattab. He was what? He was the eldest son of Umar ibn al-Khattab. He embraced Islam around the time that his father Umar embraced Islam. And subhanAllah, during the caliphates of Uthman and Ali and Hassan and Muawiyah, this Abdullah ibn Umar, he stayed away from all of the controversies. He stayed away from all of the fitnas. He did not side with Ali radiallahu ta'ala an at Siffin, nor did he side with Muawiyah. He stayed away from all of that. Walhamdulillah. In reality, ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah, this companion was somebody who had a great influence over the Medina school, over the Medina school of fiqh. And who's the Imam of the Medina school of fiqh? Imam Malik. Imam Malik rahimahullah, he was there based in Medina al-Munawwara, and this Abdullah ibn Umar and his opinions played a great role in the life of Imam Malik rahimahullah. And you find that many a times Imam Malik's opinions gel with the opinion of Abdullah ibn Umar ibn al-Khattab. Subhanallah, he lost his eyesight towards the end of his life, and many attribute this to the opinion that he had, and that was that when one's taking wudu, that water should enter into the eye. Subhanallah. And so later on in life, this eventually affected him negatively. Brothers and sisters, he is from amongst the seven who narrate the most number of ahadith from the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he narrates how many? 2,630 ahadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I repeat, this Abdullah ibn Umar narrates 2,630 ahadith. Subhanallah. The poet, he says, والمكثرون في رواية الأثر أبو هريرة يليه ابن عمر وأنس والبحر كالخدر وجابر وزوجة النبي. All seven of them in two lines of poetry. Abu Huraira, Anas ibn Malik, Jabir ibn Abdullah, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, this Abdullah ibn Umar, they form the seven who narrate the most number of ahadith from the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We move on to the actual hadith. Islam has been built upon five. Upon five what? Upon five pillars. It's not mentioned. The word arkan, the word pillars, not mentioned in the hadith, but it's understood. Islam has been built upon five things, five pillars. What are they? Shahadati an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. They are testified that there is no deity worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his Rasul, is his final messenger. Brothers and sisters, if somebody merely says this on their tongue, does this mean that the individual is a Muslim, a true Muslim? Absolutely not. Anyone can say anything with their tongue. You need to have that yaqeen. You need to have that sincerity. You need to have that ikhlas. You need to say it with conviction. That's why it's a testification. You don't just testify about any willy-nilly thing. Rather, you testify with regards to important matters. And that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the first pillar of al-Islam. And we will not go into the great details with regards to that. Why? Because we've already discussed that in our previous hadith. When we discussed the hadith of Jibreel, we went into those great details. Walhamdulillah. So we now move on to the second pillar of al-Islam. And what's that? The pillar of salah, subhanallah. Bunya al-Islamu ala khams. Shahadati an la ilaha illallah. Wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Wa iqami salah. And the establishing of the prayer. Look at this, brothers and sisters. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, O male and female servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give it your ear. Give it your ear. Why? Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, Allah mentions not make salah, not perform salah, not read salah, but rather Allah mentions in the noble Quran, يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ. They establish the prayer. Most of the time when the matter of prayer came, Allah mentions the iqama of the prayer. The iqama of the prayer. Iqama means the establishing of the prayer. Not just praying, but rather establishing, praying it properly. Praying on time. Praying in the early time, subhanallah. Do not rush when you are praying. Give that prayer its haq. A man once prayed, and then the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam noticed his prayer. Told him, irji' fa salli, fa innaka lam tu salli. Go back and pray. You've not prayed. He repeated the prayer. Irji' fa salli, fa innaka lam tu salli. Go back and pray. You've not prayed. A second time. And then a third time. Irji' fa salli, fa innaka lam tu salli. Ya Rasulullah, I don't know what to do. Ya Rasulullah, teach me. And then the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised him, taught him. Why? Because this individual was rushing in his prayer. And you know, as it's called, the businessman's prayer, up, down, kiss the ground, and back to town. Allahumma musta'an. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, the establishing of the prayer, subhanallah. Brothers and sisters, with regards to this establishing of the prayer, what does salah mean? What does the word salah mean linguistically? As per the Arabic language, salah means dua. Super important. Salah means what? Salah means dua, subhanallah. You find that Allah states in the Noble Quran, وَصَلِّ عَلَيْهِمْ إِنَّ صَلَاتَكَ سَكَنُ لَهُمْ. And you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, make salah for the people, make salah for them. Verily your salah will give them tranquility. Make salah here, what does it mean? It means dua. Oh, you, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, make dua for the people, and this will be tranquility for them. Subhanallah. So linguistically, salah means dua. You find that our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions that the walima invite, you must accept. Somebody invites you for a walima, you have to accept that invitation. And he mentions sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even if you are fasting, even if you are fasting, you must attend, subhanallah. You must attend what? You must attend that walima. Then what do? The food's being served. You make salah for the couple. You make salah for the couple. What does that mean? You stand up there, everybody's eating food, mashallah. You pull out your musalla, you put it down, and you begin to pray two rakahs of salah for the bride and the groom. No! Rather, the salah here means you make dua for the bride and the groom. Because linguistically, salah means dua, subhanallah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah. That also then teaches us, tells us, informs us, that maybe one of the most important matters in our salah is the matter of us asking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is our dua. If salah means dua, then dua in our salah is super important. It's of paramount importance, subhanallah. That's why your Rasul, brothers and sisters, your Habib, ya Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our Habib Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did he say? أَقْرَبُ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَهُوَ سَاجِدٌ. فَأَكْثِرُوا الدُّعَاءَ. The closest you are to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is when, brothers and sisters, when you are in sujood. That's the closest you are to Allah. So what? So increase your dua. فَأَكْثِرُوا الدُّعَاءَ. So increase your dua when you are in sujood, subhanallah. Brothers and sisters, you found that the word salah is mentioned in the Noble Quran plus minus 60 times. And our Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, صَلُّوا كَمَا رَأَيْتُمُونِي أُصَلِّي. Pray as you see me pray. Somebody asks, what's the importance of prayer? I find many people lackadaisical with regards to their salah. They pray, they don't pray, sometimes they pray. We find family members who know their uncle's not a person who prays. They know that their father doesn't really bother with regards to salah. The son, mashallah, he's 25 years old and he's fast asleep. Salatul Fajr, Salatul Isha, walhamdulillah, is in his third dream. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And they showed really no importance with regards to it. The individual himself and the people around him. Subhanallah, brothers and sisters, أول ما يحاسب العبد يوم القيامة الصلاة. You know on يوم القيامة, you know that day when the sun's going to be above our heads, when people will be drowning in their own perspiration, you know that day, brothers and sisters, longer than 50,000 years, that day when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to be angry, an anger he was never angered before, when one Nabi will go to another, and this individual, that one, people run from Nabi to Nabi, ask Allah to just start Qiyamah, ask Allah to start the Hisab, ask Allah to start the accountability. Subhanallah, brothers and sisters, you know what's the first thing that will be judged on Yawm Al-Qiyamah? The first matter to be judged on Yawm Al-Qiyamah will be what? Will be the matter of Salah. أول ما يحاسب العبد يوم القيامة الصلاة. First matter judged on Yawm Al-Qiyamah will be Salah. And if it is correct, if all's in order, then the rest of your matters are okay. But if your salah is messed up, then the rest of your hisab is going to be difficult. Brothers and sisters, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, when it comes to the matter of salah, subhanallah, you had the companions, they had consensus that the individual who does not pray, doesn't pray at all, this man doesn't pray at all. He says, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, but he does not pray at all. The companions, Abdullah ibn Shaqiq states, that they would regard such an individual as no longer a Muslim. No longer a Muslim, subhanallah. Brothers and sisters, the first matter judged on Yawm al-Qiyamah with regards to the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be the matter of salah. Bi-iznillahi ta'ala, we take a short ad break. And when we return, we dissect this matter of salah, insha'Allah. Hayyakumullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. We continue bi-iznillahi ta'ala. Your brother in Islam, Bilal Ismail, of the Al-Kawthar Institute and Imam Development Project, Hayyakumullah. Brothers and sisters, before the short ad break, we began with hadith number 3. The hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala an. What's he talking about in this hadith? He mentions that our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Islam has been built upon 5 matters, 5 pillars, and the first of them being the testification, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. No deity worthy of worship besides Allah, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Rasul of Allah. Excellent. Pillar number 2, the matter of salah. Not just praying, but rather iqama of the salah. For verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned those individuals in the noble Quran who pray. They pray, but they are lax in their prayer. They pray, but they pray outside of the time. They pray towards the end of the time. They mess around with regards to their prayer. فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. Woe to those people who perform their salah. Woe to them. Why woe to them? Why bad to them? Why negative to them? Woe to them. They delay their prayer from its fixed time, subhanAllah. Imagine if this is the warning with regards to people who pray. Maybe they pray towards the end of the time, 5 minutes left of the salah time, and they are praying. Or maybe they are making qada of the prayer outside of the prayer time. Woe to them. Imagine the ones who do not pray at all, at all, at all. Allahu musta'an. Brothers and sisters, Iblis was ordered to bow down to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One sajda. Bow down to Adam. He was ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to prostrate before Adam, our father. And he refused. No, no, no. خَلَقْتَنِي مِن نَار وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِن تِين. I have been created from fire. And he is created from dust. Adam is created from dust. How can I bow down to him? I'm better than him. I'm better than him. And so he refused. He rejected Iblis ar-Rajim. Subhanallah, imagine. He refused to make that one sajda which Allah asked from him. And myself, Yosef, Ilyas, Sumayya, Saliha, and Aliyah, they go through day after day. How many sujood which Allah has ordered upon them, they don't do it. How long does it take to perform 5 daily prayers, subhanAllah? 5-10 minutes in the morning, 5-10 minutes at Zuhr time, Asr, Maghrib, Isha. In a day, it's less than an hour, subhanAllah. You still have 23 hours. In fact, it's only about half an hour, 30 minutes for the entire day. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, Iblis refused to make that one sajda, and he earned eternal damnation. What about the son of Adam and the daughter of Adam that they go through day in, day out? And they are also refusing to make those sujood to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu musta'an. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive, brothers and sisters, the importance of this matter of salah. Number one, it's a direct link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Direct link that we have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah states in a hadith Qudsi, I've divided the salah between myself and my servant into two halves. And my servant shall have whatever he asks for. When my servant says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Allah respond, Salim, Salman, when you performing salah and you say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Allah responds to you personally. Allah states, my servant has praised me. And when you say, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Allah says, my servant has exalted me. And when you say, Maliki Yawmiddin, Allah says, my servant has glorified me. Subhanallah. When you say, Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'een, Allah says, this is between me and my servant. And my servant shall have what he has asked for. When you say, Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim, sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim ghayri al-maghdubi alayhim wa al-dallin, Allah states, this is for my servant. And my servant shall have what he has asked for. Subhanallah, imagine that. Imagine if we are conscious of that. As we are performing our salah and reciting Surah Al-Fatiha, Allah is responding to every verse of that Fatiha. That's why our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would stop at the end of every verse. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Maliki Yawmiddin, stopping at the end of every verse. This is an order from Allah. Allah states, Innani ana Allah, la ilaha illa ana fa'budni wa aqimi salata li dhikri. Verily I am Allah. There is no deity worthy of worship but me. So worship me and establish the prayer properly for my remembrance. Allah ordered us to perform this salah. Brothers and sisters, the other pillars of Al-Islam, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was on earth, and they were obliged upon him. He was on earth, and then the pillar of zakah came down. The pillar of fasting Ramadan came down. The pillar of hajj had come down. But subhanallah, when it came to salah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had taken our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the journey of the Isra and the Mi'raj to the heavens. And that's when this obligation of salah was placed upon him and the ummah. Subhanallah, brothers and sisters, the Isra was from Mecca to Masjid al-Aqsa. And from there, the Mi'raj from Masjid al-Aqsa to the heavens. You find that our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the first heaven, he met with Adam alayhi salam. Second heaven, Isa and Yahya. Third heaven, Yusuf alayhi salam. Fourth heaven, Idris. Fifth, Harun. Sixth, Musa. And Musa was crying. Musa was weeping when he saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why is Musa crying? Because he felt that, there's this youngster, a young Prophet Muhammad came after him, and he's going to have more followers than Musa alayhi salam. So Musa, out of some good type of jealousy, was tearing. In the seventh heaven, he met up with Ibrahim alayhi salam. Our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given this gift of salah, brothers and sisters. And we know that at first it was how many rak'ahs? It was 50 rak'ahs. 50 rak'ahs a day, imagine that. Then Musa alayhi salam says to our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know what, I have experience with Banu Israel. And, they had two prayers a day. They couldn't really manage that much. So 50 is not going to work out. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to lessen it. And then it was brought down to 40. Musa alayhi salam says, your ummah will not manage. Then Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam went back, was brought down to 30. Musa alayhi salam said, I got experience, your ummah will not manage. Brought down to 20, subhanallah. Musa alayhi salam says, your ummah will not manage. Brought down to 10, brothers and sisters. Musa alayhi salam says, no, your ummah will not manage. Brought down to 5. Musa alayhi salam says, your ummah will not manage. Our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was embarrassed. He was embarrassed, subhanallah. How can I go back to Allah and seek a discount on this 5? How can somebody say, I am an ummati? I am an ummati of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I cannot even give 30 minutes a day to perform these 5 daily salawat. Oh, when you have many excuses. Look at that guy, he prays. Look at this guy, he's got a beard. And look at, he does this bad and that evil and this evil and that evil. Look at that woman, she's in niqab and she's doing this and she's doing that and this one. Subhanallah. Yes, they might be involved in wrong. Who doesn't sin? You don't sin? Everybody sins. كُلُّ بَنِي آدَمَ خَطَّى وَخَيْرُ خَطَّئِينَ التَّوَّابُونَ. Every one of the children of Adam, they sin. And the best of those who sin are those who turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in tawbah. Maybe that individual sinning, going back to salah and making tawbah. Sinning, going back to salah and making tawbah. Maybe she's involved in sin and she goes back to her salah and she makes tawbah. Isn't that better than the one who doesn't pray? Isn't that better than the one who doesn't pray? Subhanallah, Allahumma ista'an. But insan likes and loves to find excuses. Allahumma ista'an. Brothers and sisters, it was brought from 50 down to 5. This also, in a way, indicates to us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really, really, really loves this act of worship. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted us to have been praying 50 times a day. Usually when we look at this matter, we might think that, oh, this was lucky to Musa. Thank you, oh Musa. You got us this discount, etc. But subhanAllah, from the other angle, think about it. That Allah really loves this act of worship so much. That's why Allah wanted us to be praying 50 times a day, subhanAllah.
And at the end of the day, we know the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, whatever good deed you do, then it's multiplied. And so even though we might be praying 5 times a day, multiplied by 10, we get the reward of 50. Walhamdulillah. Brothers and sisters, our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was also given the gift of the last few verses of Surah Al-Baqarah. He was given the gift that no Muslim will dwell in the hellfire for eternity, subhanallah. All of this during that Isra and the Miraj. Salim, Ahmed, Sumayya, Fatima, Aliya, on Yawm Al-Qiyamah, do you want the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam to recognize you? Do you want to run to him? Do you want to see him? Do you want to go to his pond and drink from that water of his pond? People are dying of thirst and there will be no death. People would be thirsty and they would come to the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They want to drink from his pond of Kawthar, and whoever drinks from it will never be thirsty again. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the drink from the pond of Kawthar. Would you not want that? Yes, you would. We'd go to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We would recognize him. But the question is, would he recognize us? Would he recognize us? How would he recognize us? By the limbs which were washed in our wudu. Those limbs would be bright on Yawm Al-Qiyamah. They would be like lights on Yawm Al-Qiyamah. Your face, your hands, your knees, your feet rather, your head. This would be lit up, subhanallah. And that's how our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam is going to recognize us. We're going to have this brightness, we're going to have this whiteness, we're going to have this light on the limbs which we washed in wudu. So imagine, the one who doesn't pray, obviously is not performing wudu. I don't think anybody is out there performing wudu and just not praying. If you're not praying, that means you're not making wudu. And so how is the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam going to recognize you on Yawm Al-Qiyamah? Allahu musta'an. We all want that recognition, yes or no? Also, this is one of the most beloved acts to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You find Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. He says, Ya Rasulullah, Ayyul amali ahabbu ila Allah. Which act is most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What did the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? As-salah ala waqtiha. As-salah in its proper time. And then what, Ya Rasulullah? Then what's the most beloved of acts to Allah? He said, Birrul walidain. Obedience to the parents. And then what, Ya Rasulullah? Jihad fi sabilillah. Hadith in Sahih? Sahih al-Bukhari. Another hadith reported in the Sunan of Imam Abu Dawood. Fi awwal waqtiha. Salah in its earliest time. I repeat, Salah in its earliest time. When Zuhr time comes in, the brother prays. When Asr time comes in, he prays. Maghrib, he prays. He does not delay in his salawat. He doesn't pray in the last 5-7 minutes before the prayer time can expire. He prays the Fajr Salah in the early time. Why is this from amongst the most beloved of acts to Allah? Think about it. You come home and you say to your son or you say to your daughter, you know, bring me my sandals. And he brings it to you at 11 p.m. You came home at 6 p.m. I mean, technically, he has listened to you. He's brought it. Yes or no, you told him, please bring me my sandals. But he brought it at 11 p.m. Are you going to regard that as obedience? No, subhanallah. Delayed obedience in reality is not obedience. And thus, when the prayer time enters, true obedience is to perform the salah in its earliest time, subhanallah. Brothers and sisters, the closest you are to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is when you are in sajda. The closest we are to Allah. And how many people have passed away in sujood? Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, as per his biography, they state that he passed away in the posture of sujood. The closest we are to Allah is in that posture. When you take that which is most beloved to you, your fancy face, you did this job and that job, and you do this and you do that, etc. Spend 1 hour in front of the mirror. When you take that same face and you put it down on the ground, that's when you are closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a sign of your submission. It's a sign of your humility before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, especially today with the CCTV cameras in many a masajid. You know, we've been able to find videos of people where the man's in the masjid performing salah. Suddenly he has a heart attack and he falls down while he was in his salah. Somebody's performing salah and he's in sajda and he passes away in that posture, never to wake up from that posture. You found the person, he just finished, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah,
And suddenly he's noticed that, you know, he's holding his chest and he goes into the posture of sujood, and then he passed away in that posture. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us death similar to that. Death when we are in our salah. It's from amongst the final advices of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on his deathbed. Anas ibn Malik, the servant of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, "Ammatu wasiyati Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam kanat as-salah." Remember, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was ill for over 10 days. What's his age? 63 years old. He's in the home, and eventually the wives agreed that he could be nursed in the house of Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha. And this Anas, this servant, who served him for more than 10 years, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never told him, why did you do this? Why did you not do this? Subhanallah. The same Anas, he says, the general advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on his deathbed was, as-salah, 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 the prayer, the prayer. Brothers and sisters, imagine your father's on his deathbed and he gives you those parting advices, those final advices. You're going to hold on to them. You're never going to let them go, subhanAllah. He says to you, help this one brother. He says to you, donate to a certain charity. Help out with regards to this masjid. You're going to make sure that you're going to continue that legacy. Imagine our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for the ummah, what did he say? As-salah, as-salah, your prayer, your prayer, your prayer, your prayer. Brothers and sisters, go to your local masjid. Look at the front saf, the second saf. There's 20 sufuf. There's 50, subhanAllah. We want to extend this masjid and extend that masjid. And how beautiful they are, no doubt, the chandelier. Walhamdulillah, masha'Allah, tabarakAllah. But how many people there for Salatul Fajr? How many people there for Salatul Maghrib? How many there for Salatul Asr? That Salatul Asr, our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the one who misses Salatul Asr, it's as though he lost his entire family. Allahumma musta'an. Does it hit us like that? Does it really hit us like that? No, it doesn't. It doesn't. Why? Because in this world, the currency of this world is our rand, our dollars, our cents, our gold, our silver. Whereas the hereafter, the currency will be our a'mal, and it is there that we will need all of this. We take a break and then we continue. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. We continue bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Your brother in Islam, Bilal Ismail, of the Al-Kawthar Institute and Imam Development Project. Our current topic of discussion, the series, the 40 ahadith of Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah, and more especially, brothers and sisters, hadith number 3. Islam is built upon five. Five what? Five pillars. First one being our testification, and the second being the matter of salah. And that's where our current discussion had stopped. Our Rasul, brothers and sisters, picture this. He's in his house. He wakes up the last third part of the night, leaves the warm bed, and he stands and he's in salah. And he's praying, and he's praying. And we know that his adah, his norm, his custom was plus minus 11 rak'ahs of the hajjud every night. And he's performing salah until eventually around the time of Fajr. Bilal radiallahu ta'ala an had come to check our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's awake, etc. And Bilal finds that our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was standing in salah, and his feet were actually swollen. Bilal says, Ya Rasulullah, why are you doing this? Allah has forgiven your past, future sins, etc. Why are you doing this? Our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responds, أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Should I not be a grateful servant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Should I not give shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Brothers and sisters, he lived in a house without a proper roof. They had leaves as the roof. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his house, the bottom, there must have been sand here, there and everywhere. There might have been a heavy wind outside and sand would come in left, right and center. And he is saying, should I not be a grateful servant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Look at the fancy car that you have in the garage, mashaAllah, tabarakAllah. Look at the education being afforded to your kids, walhamdulillah. Look at the mashaAllah job that you have, walhamdulillah. The luxuries you have around yourself. How much of shukr we need to give to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Brothers and sisters, he said, أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Should I not be a grateful servant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We also know in the Noble Quran, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. Salah keeps people away from fahsha and munkar and evil and all of this fahsha and lewdness. Brothers and sisters, yes, the people of Salah fall into error. But worse off are those who fall into error and they also do not perform Salah. Salah is like having a bath 5 times a day. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that, don't you see an individual, if he's got a river in front of his house and he takes a bath 5 times a day, will he have any dirt filth left on himself? They said, no, ya Rasulullah. He says, well, the Salah is similar to that. That the Salah grants you that opportunity that when you perform Salah, you wipe away all of that, you wipe away all of those sins. When you perform wudu, your sins drop away. Walhamdulillah. We also find that Salah for the men, where? In the masjid. Unity of rank between the brothers. Unity of rank between them. You stand shoulder to shoulder. Whether you are white, whether you are rich, whether you are poor, whether you are ill, whether you are well. We all stand next to one another. Nobody goes before the imam and then the followers, subhanallah. We find that Salatul Jama'ah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses Salatul Jama'ah in the Noble Quran. When you are in battle, subhanallah, you're in battle, you have the enemy in front of you. One group stands with their arms, the other one goes down into their ruku, and then they finish their rak'ah. Then the second group, you go into the ruku, etc., taking turns. Subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the intricacy of praying Salatul Jama'ah on the battlefield, in front of the enemy. Imagine if that's the case. Imagine, subhanallah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions Salatul Jama'ah on the battlefield and how to perform it and the great details surrounding it. Imagine how important it must be. What battle are we in the morning every day? We're not making it to the masjid. How come, subhanallah? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on the battlefield, they will pray Salah in Jama'ah. And imagine ourselves. We're not even going to the masjid for Salatul Jama'ah. Allah musta'an. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he wanted to order that the Salah and the Adhan be performed. The Adhan and then the Salah be performed. And then he wanted to go out and burn down the houses of those individuals who do not come to the masjid for Salah. Those men, they're in their homes. They might be praying in Jama'ah, but they're not praying in the masjid. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to burn down their homes. And then he said, no, because the women and kids are there. You know, this would not be right. Allah musta'an. Brothers and sisters, lastly, Allah states in the Noble Quran, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. Woe to the people who pray, but they pray and they are lax with their prayer. They are careless with regards to their prayer. Your salah, it benefits you before anybody else. It brings you closer to Allah. Grants you a personal relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Grants you peace and serenity in this dunya. Yes, you'll still have issues and problems and all of that. But as is said, when you say Allahu Akbar, you're throwing your dunya, you're throwing your issues, you're throwing your problems, all of them behind your back, subhanallah. You need salah, and salah does not need you. You need salah. Salah does not need you, brothers and sisters. With regards to salah, we found that salah is an obligation upon every Muslim who is sane and who is mature. Every Muslim who is baligh, who is mature, and is aqil, is sane, walhamdulillah. What about an individual who might be unconscious? What happens in that case? He was in hospital, he was knocked out for 5 days, 7 days, 8 days, etc. We found that many of the scholars go with the 3-day rule. They say that if you were unconscious for more than 3 days, then you do not have to make up any qada. It's all over, it's all done. But if you were unconscious for less than 3 days, 24 hours, or 48 hours, then you have to make qada. They go with the 3-day rule. Anything more than 3 days, no qada. Anything less than 3 days, you have to make qada. Where did this come from? Many of the scholars, they use the issue of the one who's asleep and the one who's insane as the basis. They said that if one was asleep, obviously, when you wake up, you need to perform that salah. But if you were insane, If you were insane and after 5 years you regain sanity, do you need to make qada? No, you don't. So the ulama have stated, if you were unconscious for less than 3 days, you are similar to the one who was asleep, and thus you need to make up that prayer. But if you were in a state of unconsciousness for more than 3 days, then you are similar to the one who was insane, and thus you are not required to perform any qada. This is obviously if your state of unconsciousness was through a legal means. You know, you were walking somewhere and something hit you, you were unconscious, you went to the hospital, you had an operation, etc., etc. But as for somebody who had an overdose on drugs, somebody who was under the influence of alcohol, somebody who was dabbling in narcotics, etc., this individual, whether one day, whether 10 days, whether 1 year, this individual was in a state of unconsciousness, they have to make up their salah. It's not like, subhanAllah, you know, we like rewarding you. Don't worry, brother, you know, you were drugs and you had this issue, and you don't have to worry about the qada. No, in fact, such a person needs more qada than maybe anybody else, subhanAllah. Allahumma musta'an. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, an important issue. What about the one who does not pray? Somebody who does not pray at all. This individual, maybe the entire year, they've not made any sajda to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is that individual still a Muslim or not? This is where salah is different from the other pillars of Islam. The scholars are almost in agreement that the one who has money and he did not perform his hajj because he's lazy, because he's a miser, he's a sinner, but he's still a Muslim. One who does not pay zakah, but he believes that zakah is an obligation, just because he's a miser, he doesn't pay the zakah, this individual is a sinner, but he's still Muslim. The one who loves food and he does not fast in the month of Ramadan, this individual is a Muslim, but he's a major sinner. But when it comes to salah, somebody believes in salah, says, I know salah is an obligation, but he doesn't pray. He does not pray, subhanAllah. Many of the scholars of the opinion that this individual ceases to be a Muslim. He's no longer a Muslim. You're out of the fold of Islam. Why? Because the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّ بَيْنَ الرَّجُلُ وَبَيْنَ الشِّرْكِ وَالْكُفْرِ تَرْكُ الصَّلَاةِ. Hadith in Sahih Muslim. That between a man on one side and shirk and kufr on the other side is the abandonment of the prayer. The abandonment of the prayer. When you abandon the prayer, then you go into the other camp. You're no longer in the camp of Islam. الْعَهْدَ أَلَّذِي بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَهُمُ الصَّلَاةِ فَمَنْ تَرَكَهَا فَقَدْ كَفَرَ. The covenant, the like treaty between us and them, the covenant, the factor, the criterion between us and them is the prayer. And whoever leaves it, then he has disbelieved. Hadith reported by Imam al-Tirmidhi. Allah states in the Noble Quran, فَإِنْ تَابُوا وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَوُوا الزَّكَاةَ فَإِخْوَانُكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ. If they establish the prayer and they pay the zakah, then they are your brothers in the deen. Converse, inferred meaning, that well, if they do not establish the prayer, then they are not your brothers in the deen. Allahu musta'an. Mushkila. This is where salah is very different from those other pillars of Islam. Brothers, what are we talking about, subhanAllah? What are we talking about? Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he states, لا يختلف المسلمون أن ترك الصلاة المفروضة عمدا من أعظم الذنوب وأكبر الكبائر. The scholars are unanimous that leaving of one prayer purposefully, it is from the major sins. وَإِنَّ إِثْمَهُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَعْظَمْ مِنْ إِثْمْ قَتْلَ النَّفْسِ. And the sin of the one who misses one prayer intentionally is worse than taking the life of somebody else unjustly. وَأَخْذَ الْأَمْوَالِ. It's worse than stealing. وَإِثْمْ الزِّنَا. And it's worse than zina. وَالسَّرِقَ وَشُرْبَ الْخَمْرِ. It's worse than stealing. It's worse than consumption of alcohol. وَأَنَّ مُعْتَرِضُ لِعُقُوبَةِ اللَّهِ وَأَنَّهُ مُتَعَرِضُ لِعُقُوبَةِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَسَخَطِهِ وَخِزْيِهِ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. And this person has put himself forward for great punishment in this world and the hereafter. He earns the anger of Allah. Allahu musta'an. Imagine Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah stating that this is worse than stealing. Would you want to marry somebody who steals? Would you want to marry somebody who fornicates? Would you want to marry somebody who kills people? No, you wouldn't. You want to run away from them. But then why are we so lax when it comes to the matter of salah? No, don't worry. Khair barakah. No, subhanallah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, we need to understand the gravity of this matter. It's not a light matter, subhanAllah. Some of the ulama, not all the ulama, some of the ulama are of the opinion that the one who doesn't pray ceases to be a Muslim. What does this mean? It means that the nikah breaks. It means that guardianship over the kids no longer exists. It means that there's no inheritance between that individual and the other Muslims in the family. It means it's worse than zina, worse than gambling, murder. It means that there's no burial in the Muslim graveyard, etc. Umar radiallahu ta'ala, when he was stabbed and they had taken him to his home and he was in a state of unconsciousness, when he came around, they said, Ya Amirul Mu'mineen, technically, you know, you haven't finished that Salatul Fajr. What did he say? Yes. And there's no share in Islam for the one who does not pray. Subhanallah. No share in Islam for the one who does not pray. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah. You find the Hanbali scholars of the opinion that an individual who doesn't pray, if arrested, then he's taken to court. And then they will try to convince him to pray. They will threaten him. Eventually, if after the threats, etc., he still refuses to pray, then the death sentence will be meted out upon this individual and he dies as an apostate. Death sentence, subhanAllah, because he's just refusing to pray. He is refusing to pray. Imagine, death sentence. According to the Shafi'is and the Malikis, this individual will also be threatened and they will try to use whatever means available to convince him to pray. If still he persists, then the death sentence will be meted out upon him, but he dies as a Muslim. And according to Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, this individual must be lashed, he must be beaten, he must be lashed, and he must be locked up in jail. Ya Abdullah, Ya Ahmadullah, we're not talking about any light matter. Salah is of that level of importance, subhanAllah. It will be the first thing judged on Yawmul Qiyamah. Not your relationship with your mother or your father and your grandfather and your great-grandfather. Not the matter of your money, not the matter of your business, not the matter of your recitation of the noble Quran. No, all of those things are super important. But the super, super important matter is the matter of your salah, first matter judged on Yawm al-Qiyamah. So that's why, brothers and sisters, just go and do it. Just go and pray. Whatever your situation, just make that wudu and go and pray, subhanAllah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us tawfiq. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from amongst the people of salah. We find that one of the scholars of old, Abu Tayyib al-Maghribi, he mentions that, you know, the scholars sometimes when they have extra time on their hands, they discuss, what if masail? What if such and such happens? What if you have a flying carpet and you are going to Mecca? You know, where do you put on the ihram, etc.? So they used to dabble in the what if masail. He mentions one of the what if matters. What if you have a Muslim who says, I am a Muslim, but he does not pray? Subhanallah. They regarded this and put this in the chapter of the what if masail. Imagine if they lived today, that they will find how many individuals. His name is Muhammad. Her name is Aisha. And they do not pray. Allahumma stan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala correct our affairs. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who have missed their salah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make them from amongst those who are diligent in the performance of their prayers. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that joy in our salah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that joy similar to the joy that our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to experience in his prayers. Until we meet again bi-iznillahi ta'ala in the continuation of hadith number 3 from the 40 ahadith of Imam al-Nawawi, we say that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the best in this world and in the hereafter, and record our sitting, our learning, and our studying in our scales of good deeds. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Your brother in Islam, Bilal Ismail, hayyakum Allah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.